today on Annenberg Radio News. Olvera Street celebrates Fat Tuesday. It's the beginning of Mardi Gras. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for February 16th, 2010. I'm Megan McCarty. Police say former Los Angeles Police Chief Daryl Gates is seriously ill and in the hospital with bladder cancer. He is being treated with radiation. Gates, who is 83 years old, became chief in the late 1970s and served for 15 years. He was retired after he was criticized for how the LAPD handled the Rodney King beatings. L.A. Unified School District Superintendent Ramon Cortinez delivered his State of the District address this morning. The L.A. Unified School District is facing a $640 million budget gap next year. Michelle LaRue reports on what kind of strategies Cortinez is proposing to ease the financial hard times.
Students, teachers, and parents filled the Belmont High School auditorium to hear LAUSD Superintendent Raymond Cortinez's plan for improving schools after massive budget cuts and teacher layoffs. Cortinez said everyone involved in the system must work together as a team.
Supporting all of our employees, strong leadership among all school stakeholders, administrators, teachers, classified staff, and parents is essential for managing effective schools.
Cortinez stressed the need for better trained teachers. One great-grandmother named Mary has seen her children, grandchildren, and now great-grandchildren go through LAUSD schools. She hopes the district will find more qualified teachers, even if it means cutting the school year short.
I'd rather have the quality over the quantity. You know, when the teachers are there, that they're getting as much as they can from the teachers, and maybe they're going to have to sacrifice a few days.
Cortinez proposed cutting 6 days from the school year to save the district $90 million and 5,000 jobs. Other strategies for improvement include using student performance data to drive instruction and allowing schools to have more control over the money they receive. Belmont High School's student government vice president has faith in her superintendent and the system.
In the midst of all the challenges that we are facing, we can still do it. Like, there is a silver lining of hope, as you said, and I strongly believe that because I still see improvements in the school system.
LAUSD faces $640 million in budget cuts for next year, as well as teacher layoffs and more crowded classrooms. Michelle LaRue, Annenberg Radio News.
The Los Angeles City Council met today to discuss budget cuts and their effect on the jobs of city workers. Our Brandon Marcus has more on what three agencies are doing to create more job openings.
Representatives from the Department of Water and Power, Airports and Harbors appeared before the City Council. Council members like Janice Hahn spent most of the meeting urging the representatives to find more vacancies immediately.
Look hard, again, if you can absorb some of these employees. That's what we're asking you. We're part of the city family, and I'll tell you, we do not want to lay people off. We're looking for you to help us. It's an emergency. It's a crisis.
The three agencies hire a number of outside contractors, but City Councilman Richard Alarcon says city workers can do the job.
I understand you want to maintain quality, but I think city workers are quality workers, and you can maintain them as well.
All three agency heads agreed they would like to hire more city workers. David Freeman is the interim general manager of DWP. He says DWP has 117 current openings, but has room for more.
But we're going to do better than that because I'm going to do what the council is suggesting. I'm going to go back and look at every blooming contract we've got and find out whether we can cancel the contract and hire city workers for it.
With the city of Los Angeles looking at close to 1,000 layoffs, any new jobs will help. The three agencies will be back at the city council next Tuesday to talk about their findings. I'm Brandon Marcus, Annenberg Radio News.
Early this morning, flames engulfed a four-story building under construction in South Los Angeles. More than 100 firefighters responded to the call at 4 in the morning. Fire Chief Brian Cummings emphasized the importance of fire prevention.
Actually, with any vacant building, if they can keep it secure, if they can keep it boarded up, locked up, gates around it, fences, that goes a long way towards preventing things like this. Making sure that they have safe construction practices, electricity is turned off, they're careful with any welding or plumbing that's going on. That's about it, but security is the number one thing on a vacant building.
Firefighters put out the blaze in about an hour. Despite their efforts, both sides of the building collapsed. No injuries were reported, and the cause of the fire is still under investigation. Today, the Los Angeles police are asking for the public's help as they look for a missing woman. A 51-year-old diabetic woman was reported missing last week in South Los Angeles. The Armenian-speaking woman went missing from her home in the 400 block of 41st Street last week. Anyone with information is asked to contact the LAPD. Residents have been trying to clean up Martin Luther King Jr. Park in South Los Angeles for years. They've been making progress, but they say that a liquor store across the street is impeding their efforts. Neighborhood activists spoke up today at a zoning hearing. Grant Tungle reports.
Across from Martin Luther King Jr. Park is a dangerous street corner. Just ask resident Leslie Benson. He has lived in the area since 1964.
39th and Western has always been a drug corner. It has always been an eyesore to the community.
He and other residents have been trying to change that. They've made progress, but one establishment stands in their way, Century Market. At the zoning hearing, concerned residents said the liquor store is a public nuisance. Kasima Thomas has seen it firsthand.
You can drive by any day. I welcome anybody from the community to drive by. Go sit outside and see what happens.
He's noticed public drinking, loitering, drug sales, public urination, and other activity not suitable for a business next to a park. Thomas is a member of the Community Coalition of South Los Angeles. The organization has been trying to get Century Market to clean up its act. The organization worked with the city to get conditions placed on the business. They include installing security cameras, hiring a guard, and being more vigilant against illegal activity. Century Market employee Tyrone Bowman said the business is doing all it can.
I couldn't stand the situation when I first started. But now that these conditions have been applied and that we've been complying with them, things have changed a lot.
But Kasima Thomas of the Community Coalition believes Century Market is not living up to its end of the bargain. Thomas believes the only remaining course of action is simple.
I think the community would like to see revocations.
City Zoning Administrator R. Nicholas Brown says it will be at least a week before a decision is made, but he is leaning towards maintaining Century Market's liquor license as long as it abides by the conditions. Residents hope the business's owner will remain true to his word. Grant Tunkel, Annenberg Radio News.
The Los Angeles Board of Supervisors approved a new probation chief today. Donald Blevins is the new chief and was recommended by Chief Executive Officer of L.A. County, William Fujioka, to start on April 19th. Blevins previously was the probation chief in Alameda County. The median home price in Southern California fell 6% from December to January. This is according to San Diego's MDA DataQuick. The median home price in December was nearly $280,000. They say the decreases are the result of sales from foreclosures and homes in lower cost markets. Tonight, expect mostly clear skies with lows in the lower 50s. Tomorrow, expect mostly sunny skies with highs in the upper 60s and 70s. Tomorrow night, expect mostly clear skies with lows in the lower 50s. And on Thursday, expect sunny weather with highs in the 60s and 70s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, hear how the homeless population in LA might be recognized by the census. Olvera Street paid homage to Mardi Gras today. Karen Marcus has more.
Children poured out of buses and filled the cobblestone walkways of Olvera Street to prepare for a one-of-a-kind Mardi Gras celebration. Fat Tuesday marks the end of Mardi Gras. With the help of the Olvera Street vendors, local school children were given the chance to end it with a bang. Volunteers helped the kids make brightly colored masks adorned with feathers and sequins. Esteban Coronado, one of the event hosts, described the eclectic parade lineup.
We have the Haitian dancers that will be along with the parade route. The two the winners, the king and queen of the Mardi Gras, will ride on a little float, and we will take an excursion throughout Olvera Street and along with the other children that will be dancing along with us. And then we finish off with a piñata, breaking off the bad humor.
Parade goers also enjoyed live music, free food, and carnival rides. The Olvera Street celebration continues until 10 p.m. tonight. Karen Marcus, Annenberg Radio News.
It was a happy Valentine's Day for two very big parents at the San Diego Zoo. Campers were woken up by trumpeting at 2 a.m., elephants announcing the birth of a baby calf. The newborn male African elephant is the sixth addition to the herd since it was moved to the zoo in 2003. The 224-pound baby has not been named yet. The Census Bureau is counting on everyone to participate in the 2010 population count, especially after an audit by the Commerce Department shows the Bureau wasted money on temporary employees. 10,000 employees each cashed $300 checks from the Bureau after going through training, only to quit or not complete any work. The Bureau is already $88 million over its original budget, including spending $2.5 million on Super Bowl ads. Government officials are working hard to spread the word about the 2010 census, but in Los Angeles, officials are urging residents to inform one very important group, those without homes. Our Jason Schwartz has more on how the census plans to keep track of the homeless.
Government officials, homeless advocates, and religious leaders were among those who packed the conference room at the Path Regional Homeless Center. The message? Make sure the homeless know about the upcoming census. If they don't participate, Michael Arnold of the L.A. Homeless Services Authority warned that homeless programs could face a huge financial setback.
The census provides the basis for distributing about 85% of all federal grant programs to states and local jurisdictions. If we miss the census count, it not only affects us for the year, the first year, it affects us for 10 years.
L.A. has the country's largest homeless population, over 30% more than New York. However, L.A. receives just over half of the government funding provided to the Big Apple. But getting accurate counts can be tricky. For example, Long Beach officials know that its Cambodian population reaches near 100,000, yet the last census recorded only 17,000. Shannon Lawrence works at the U.S. Census Bureau of Los Angeles.
The only way we can put resources, the right kind of resources, whether they be educational, whether they be housing, is we have to know where they are. We have to know where they're sleeping. We have to know where they are during the day. We have to know what resources they need. We can't get that without an accurate count.
In an effort to get the homeless counted, the LA Census Office is sponsoring a sock drive. People can donate socks to be given to each homeless person who participates in the census. The official count will be taken over a three-day period from March 28th to the 30th. Jason Schwartz, Annenberg Radio News.
With the recession pushing more and more people out of their homes, the number of homeless during this year's census could be bigger than ever. To find out why an accurate count is so important, I spoke earlier today with Neil Donovan. He's the executive director of the National Coalition for the Homeless in Washington, D.C. What does adding the homeless population to the census mean for a major metropolitan area like Los Angeles?
Well, in 1997, the Census Bureau determined that counting homeless people was an excessive burden and that they wouldn't be able to do it adequately. So they came up with the decision that they would try to do it in an abbreviated way.
So if there were to be an accurate count of homeless populations, what benefit would that bring?
Well, some $40 billion worth of general resources that are divided out across the country. So it's 1.5 billion under the McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act, and it's to fund homeless specific programs. And then there's an additional $3.5 billion on top of that 1.5 billion of money that could then be spent more appropriately, because we would know where the homeless reside. I think it would be one major step to correcting a system that really is not suited for ending homelessness, but really a system that really is just there to manage it.
And obviously, there are certain logistical challenges in counting homeless populations. How can the census face these logistical challenges?
I guess I would flip the question around and say that the Census Bureau has the responsibility of counting the homeless. So it's really up to the Census Bureau to determine what they need to fulfill their obligation, their constitutional responsibility to count all residents of the United States. So if their resources are insufficient, then they need to go to Congress and let them know that so that they can gain more resources. The challenge isn't the responsibility of the homeless community or the community. It's really the census's responsibility to figure out what they need, what tools they need, what resources they need to fulfill their obligation.
And what are the political implications of the census count as far as who gets counted, whether that's homeless populations or undocumented immigrants?
I think the political implication is that you have some 3.5 million Americans per year that are basically uncounted, forgotten. And because of that, we don't really understand who we are as a country. Politically, it would be important to understand who we are so that we can divide our resources up, you know, appropriately and proportionately, and so that we can hopefully solve the social ill rather than just brush it under the rug.
Great. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
You're welcome.
That was Neil Donovan with the National Coalition for the Homeless. Downtown Los Angeles is set to get a new 12-acre park that will be between the Music and City Center. The county supervisors passed the $50 million development this afternoon. The vote was 4-1, with Supervisor Mike Antonovich against it. Antonovich asked if a new park was a reasonable expense when the county is seeing decreases in sales and property tax revenues. The park will be part of revitalizing Grand Avenue, which is set to get new residential and retail space downtown. West Hollywood is considered a pet-friendly city after outlawing cat decline, and now it may ban selling cats and dogs at pet shops. The West Hollywood City Council unanimously passed the proposal in the first round, and if passed today, the law will go into effect on March 19th. Supporters proposed the ban to stop stores from selling dogs from puppy mills. The ban won't affect animal rescue groups, shelters, or people that breed animals at home. Now we check in with Lacey Ehrlich to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Lacey?
Thanks, Megan. We have a lot of news to cover for you tonight on ATVN. We'll give you the details on a human skull found in Griffith Park. Plus, USG elections are well underway. Check out ATVN for a day one recap. Homeowners may be paying the price for school budget cuts in the LA Unified School District, and we'll tell you how. Plus, the Los Angeles skyline just got a makeover. We'll show you the first skyscraper built in the past two decades. Watch ATVN tonight on Trojan Vision live at 6 p.m.
Thanks, Lacey. That's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Stephanie Guzman and Ariel Pratt. Karen Marcus is our producer. Timothy Beckworth and Richie Duchon are the executive producers. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Megan McCarty.